magic mushrooms. There's been some evidence for a while that this drug, it's actually called psilocybin, can help relieve depression and anxiety. Now, a small study of people with major depression, which hasn't been fully treated with existing medications and psychotherapy, has found significant benefits from reasonably high doses of psilocybin, given in a controlled environment with a therapist present. The study done was at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, which has a long history of psychedelic research, led by Roland Griffiths, who's Professor of Psychiatry and Neuroscience.
Happy to be here.
I mean, we should just set context here before we get into the study. Johns Hopkins has probably been studying psychedelics longer than, in a continuous way, than any other institution in the United States, if not the world.
Well, certainly in the United States, we initiated our work with psychedelics 20 years ago at a time where it was unprecedented to get approval to administer a psychedelic to psychedelically naive individual, at least, you know, over the last several decades after the trauma of the psychedelic 60s. So we've done quite a bit of work with psychedelics over that period of time, doing studies in healthy volunteers and in patient populations. We've administered psilocybin to almost 400 participants in almost 700 sessions over that period of time.
And again, before we get to this study, just broadly, what have you found? I mean, what are the highlights of the research so far?
Well, the basic and most remarkable finding, and it really set me off on this adventure, I would have to say I'm trained as a clinical psychopharmacologist, had done a lot of work with mood-altering drugs. And then 25 years ago or so, I undertook a meditation practice, and that got me very curious about altered states of consciousness. And so we initiated our first study with a pretty high dose of psilocybin. You know, I'd read that literature, but I was kind of skeptical about what might happen. And it really is fantastically interesting. Basically, if you give a high dose of psilocybin to people who have been carefully screened and prepared and they're supported during their sessions and after their sessions, they end up having experiences that map on or look quite similar to naturally occurring mystical or transcendent kinds of experiences, and to which people report enduring long-term changes, positive changes in attitudes, moods, and behavior. And when asked to reflect back or rate the quality of that experience, most people studied will rate the experience as among the most personally meaningful and spiritually significant experience of their entire lifetime, comparing it, for instance, to birth of a firstborn child or death of a parent. So there's something astonishingly interesting about these kinds of experiences. And it's not just psychedelics. We know that humans from beginning of documented time have had experiences that are transitional of this sort. It's just now that we have a model system for studying these. So we've done a lot of work looking at dose effects and replicability of the effects and trying to understand the extent to which expectancies feed into these effects, which they do some, but they certainly don't determine the entire effect. So, and then we've ventured into clinical populations.
Which is where this trial comes up. And it was a trial of people with major depressive disorder, and that really qualifies people with a deep, dark depression and treatments, traditional treatments such as SSRIs, normal antidepressants, haven't worked that well, or they've only worked partially. We've covered this issue before. It is a difficult problem, and quite a high percentage of people with major depression don't get full recovery, if you like, from the drugs themselves. Mm. And it's a small trial. So you did it in people, so about 24 people, I understand, and it wasn't with a placebo, but essentially you had a control population who eventually got the drug. Is that right? Did I get that design
yep.
right?
Yeah, that's right. Let me just say before going into the most recent trial, we also had run a trial and published it back in 2016 and that was a placebo-controlled double-blind trial. And these were people who were anxious or depressed, secondary to having a life-threatening cancer diagnosis. And that study showed a single session, a single exposure to psilocybin produced long-term decreases in anxiety and depression. So this is a follow-on study. It's in people with major depression. And as you mentioned, they're, you know, very often incompletely treated, and, you know, 10 to 30% of people with major depression are considered to be completely treatment resistant. And plus, the conventional SSRIs have a host of pretty aversive side effects that dampers people's enthusiasm for them.
So what did you find?
Yeah. So this is major depression. And what we did is give psilocybin on two sessions. This is done at about a two-week interval between the sessions. And what we found is really huge, rapid, and substantial decreases in depressive symptomatology. So we used a gold standard measure for assessing depression. That's a clinician-rated measure of depression, and the clinicians are blinded to the people and the drug condition. And what we showed is even after the first session, the rates of depressive symptoms dropped dramatically and they stayed low. Now, this study, we just followed people out to 4 weeks, but we'll be following this study up with a longer term follow-up.
Because there is evidence that it doesn't last forever when you do it with, you know, other studies have suggested that it's maybe a year later it comes back.
Well, there's one open label study in treatment resistant depression that shows some reemergence. And we've seen some of that, but we're really anticipating past our 4 week follow-up. We are seeing substantial effects. But let me just underscore the magnitude of these effects. So about 70% of people had decreases in depression score of over 50%. It was over 50% were in complete remission at 4 weeks. So that is, they're no longer distinguishable from the normal population. And those effect sizes are huge. So compared to a trial that would examine, say, an SSRI, these effect sizes are 3 to 4 times greater.
So let me just explore a few things here. One is, there is some evidence that if you don't actually have a transcendental experience, in other words, you don't induce a sense of out-of-body merging of your ego with the environment, which is what these drugs tend to do in reasonable doses. If you don't have that experience, you tend not to get the antidepressive effect. So something cathartic's got to happen in the brain. Did you find that in this study?
There is good data, and I've seen it in other studies. The degree of the so-called transcendent experience predicts the degree of therapeutic or positive outcome. And we saw that. It comes out as a correlation between the mystical experience and subsequent effects. People can have full therapeutic responses in absence of such an effect. So some people will report experiences of great personal insight, even of a psychodynamic or a historical nature. And they won't say that they've had a mystical experience per se, but they appear to be enduringly changed in a positive way.
Second question I've got is that you couldn't design a treatment that's more susceptible to the placebo effect. So they come in, they've read about this, they've been screened for, whether they've got schizophrenia or a tendency to psychosis. They come into a nice area, they've got a therapist, they're there for 8 hours in a nice environment, they're listening to music. There's a whole shtick around taking the psychedelic, which is partly for safety, partly to help induce this transcendental or mystical experience. So the expectation of benefit is huge, and that's just when you get a placebo effect. I mean, that's surely a criticism of the study.
Well, let's see. Those expectancy effects are wrapped around the therapeutic effects. There's no question, and we understand this fundamentally about psychedelics. Their effects depend on set and setting. And so expectation plays a role, no question about that. I suspect that there's actually no absolutely good control for that, short of an experiment in which you completely anesthetize someone so that they couldn't detect the effects of the psychedelic. But that seems like a rather absurd study to run.
So it's a small study, 24 people without a placebo arm, it's a control group.
Correct.
How many people would have to be studied for you to be sure, you know, and obviously to do a placebo control study, you'd have to recreate everything except the drug. How many people would you have to study to be sure this is ready for showtime?
Our previous study in cancer patients was placebo controlled, and we've run other studies with active comparative compounds. So we know this effect is real. But you raised a good point. Okay, so for MDD, what would it take to get this approved? Well, in fact, there are two companies now in the United States that have gotten something called breakthrough therapy status from our Food and Drug Administration, which is the group that oversees these clinical trials for drug approval. And they are conducting trials right now that, if positive, would result in or could result in approval of psilocybin. Those studies generally have 100 to 200 participants, and they are placebo controlled. That's the requirement that FDA is making for these studies. Whether or not that's the best control or not is a little bit unclear to me because of the very psychoactive nature of the psychedelic. But anyway, those studies are ongoing. I would predict that if they're positive and if some significant untoward effects of psilocybin are not revealed, which, you know, could be the case, and psilocybin is certainly not without risks, well, I would guess that approval might be forthcoming in 4 to 6 years.
So there's other drugs around. There's people going to ayahuasca retreats in Australia. There's LSD around. Is this specific to magic mushrooms, to psilocybin, or can you generalize that anything that induces a profound mystical experience could have an antidepressant effect?
Well, we simply don't have the data to address that, but it's true that ayahuasca, who's in the principal psychoactive component there, is DMT, and LSD, which is a synthesized compound, they act through similar neurophysiological receptor mechanisms as psilocybin. It's not clear all of the pluses and minuses of whether or not all those drugs will have efficacy in a condition such as major depression. So I think we'll have to see. But it would appear that these compounds are more similar than different, although they have some very significant differences. And so it's quite possible that there would be therapeutic value in depression with both ayahuasca and LSD.
Roland Griffiths, thank you very much for joining us on the Health Report. Fascinating research.
Happy to join you.
Roland Griffiths is Professor of Psychiatry and Neuroscience at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. And you're listening to RN's Health Report with me, Norman Swan.